Our first scripture for today comes from Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. That's from the book of Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This is the beginning of the story of Noah when we read that God was sorry that he created humanity. Fortunately, we know that God will never allow us to be separated from him. Listen now to the word of God. When people began to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that they were fair, and they took wives for themselves of all that they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in mortals forever, for they are flesh. Their days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God went into the daughters of humans who bore children to them. Those were the heroes that were of old, warriors of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of mankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the sight of God." Here ends the first scripture reading.
Thank you. This past week I had the opportunity, it was Pastor Appreciation Day or Ministry Appreciation Day at Sight and Sound. So they invited us over to see Jonah and fed us a meal afterwards. It was really pretty nice. Got to go up on the stage and eat a meal up there. And I thought it was perfect timing, especially for what our theme is today, that nothing can separate us from God. And there I was watching Jonah on at Sight and Sound. And every time I go to Sight and Sound, and I always somehow manage to go for free. It's nice. But I want to go see the new shows every single time, because when you can gather thousands of people in one place and then let them know about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's got to be okay. That's got to be right. And even if the story doesn't 100% reflect exactly what the Bible says, at least at the end you know that there's going to be an opportunity for someone who didn't know Jesus to come to know him. For example, Jonah in the play, you have Jonah at the very end who's confronted face to face with Jesus. In the play, right, in the Sight and Sound, and so in Sight and Sound, in the play, he repents of his sin and comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord. Have you ever read chapter 4 of Jonah? The very last words of Jonah in chapter 4 are these: "It is better for me to die than to live. I am angry enough to die." So it doesn't always 100% reflect what the scripture says, but what it does remind us that God will never ever allow us to be separated from him. God will do everything, and then even more in order to bring us back to his side. You know, there is a big difference between having something to say and having to say something, right? There's a big difference. I hope and I pray that every single Sunday when I come up here, I hope you know what a privilege and a pleasure it is for me to be able to share with you. And the Bible is so full of messages that stir up my heart and make me want to not just say something, but have something to say as a result of what I read. And if I ever get to that day where I'm desperately trying to find something to say to you, then that's the day that this guy goes into chopping wood for a full-time vocation. I'm pretty good at it. I am. See, as preachers, we are called to talk about God, which is much more interesting than talking about ourselves. And how we talk about God has to be interpreted in trying to understand what God is telling us. And part of that deciphering process is trying to figure out what is God's word to us today. So when we hear that message, which is so clear, and it's one that you really hope you don't mess up, the message today that tells us that nothing can separate us from God, what does that mean to each one of you today? What does that mean to us as a church? What does that mean to us on so many different levels? And there's so much that we could talk about what's happening in the world today. But the verses, when we read these, they're the type that after I read them to you, I just want to go back and sit down and say amen. Because they're so self-explanatory. All of Romans 8, up to this point, has talked about the amazing grace that God has for us. A grace that reassures us that what happens to us here can't even compare to the glory that's about to come. A grace that tells us that all things work together for good for those who love God. A grace that tells us if God is for us, who can be against us? A grace that tells us that we are more than conquerors. And with God on our side, we not only win, but we win big. And today we have that final message from chapter 8. And there's a little sadness to that, right? None of you is feeling, boy, finally we're done with 8. You love 8, right? Just nod your head, come on, help me out here. I love 8. And today we hear probably the most powerful no in all of Scripture. The most powerful no. No thing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. The very last two verses of chapter 8. Let's go ahead and read. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is amazing how much this scripture speaks for itself, and it's one of those scriptures you don't want to mess up. I want it to enter into your lives and just settle in there, having heard it and hopefully read it this morning. And this scripture in Romans is one that I use in every single one of the services of resurrection that I do. You may know them as funerals or memorial services. I like to call them a remembrance of the resurrection or a celebration of the resurrection. In every single one of those services, I read this scripture because it is, for me, one of those scriptures that reminds us that even in our lives when we have just been painfully wrenched from someone that we love, at a time when we don't want to be separated, these words come through in the midst of a feeling of separation and grief and pain from a loved one. And Paul says, you know, nothing's going to be able to separate you from God in the way that you feel you are separated now from that loved one. But think back on how hard in our own lives we, just like what Terry said, we try to distance ourselves and separate ourselves from God, right? There are moments and there are times, there are seasons when we find ourselves trying to separate ourselves from the love of God, just like Jonah. That's why it was perfect timing. Think back on our infidelity in God's eyes. Our Old Testament scripture in Genesis 6. I hope you heard that one. It's pretty scary. It's pretty powerful. Go back to Genesis 6 if you would. And there's a verse. Did I say 6? Genesis, yes, am I right? Yeah, Genesis 6. Verse 6, Look at verse 6, and I think this might be the scariest verse in all of Scripture. Verse 6 states, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." Folks, that scares me, right? To think that God, at a certain time in history, was sorry that he had made us. It seems like it flies right in the face of these two verses that we just read in Romans, where we read that nothing can separate us from God. And yet here we read that God was sorry that he had made us. That's pretty bad. He's angry with us. So if this promise in Romans tells us that nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God, not even a flood, not even ourselves, God always holds out a ray of hope for us. Where is that ray of hope in chapter 6 of Genesis? Well, you can't stop at verse 6. That's the point, right? Look at verse 8. And you'll see that ray of hope where we read once again, "But Noah found favor in the sight of God." It wasn't all bad. It wasn't all bad. There is that remnant of "these are my people and they will always be my people and I will never ever turn my back on them. And through Noah, I'm going to prove that to them." And he does. See, God, all throughout Scripture, wants to keep that personal contact with us, whether it's through Noah or through Abraham or through Moses or our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter how bad things get, God is going to find a way to bring us back into the fold, just like the prodigal son. No matter how bad it is, we're going to be looking for, God's going to be looking for us on the horizon, because that's just the nature of God. That's who God is. That has never changed and that will never change. He wants a relationship with us and he will do everything he can, which is a lot, by the way. God can do a lot in order to make sure that he has a relationship with us. Even though many times we try to, I use the phrase, unchild ourselves. Right? We're children of God. Every time we take communion, I say we are the people of God. We are the children of God. We try throughout our lives to unchild ourselves. We remove ourselves from the fellowship of God's family, either by turning away from the church or even by completely turning our back on God and God's guidance by saying, you know, at some time in my life, I just know that I know better. What were some of the darkest times in your life? And as you remember through them, maybe you're living through them now, do you remember how you got out of it? It wasn't you, right? It wasn't by your power. It wasn't by your skill. It wasn't by your ability. And that's what we find in Romans chapter 8. God's grace, God's love is always going to draw us out. And this is what Paul is talking when he says, "I am convinced." You see how he starts those verses? Look at chapter 8 again. "The alarm company is calling me." Did anyone press the panic button? Everyone okay? Everyone good? Just say yes. All together, everyone good? All right. Well, you're going to get better as we read this verse in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 38. He doesn't say, "You know what? I think nothing can separate us. I'm not sure." No, he says, "I am convinced." This isn't an opinion of Paul. This is a statement that he makes where he says, "I am 100%. This is a fact. This is a fact. Nothing, I am convinced that nothing will separate us. Nothing will separate us from God." And it sounds similar to what we had heard earlier in verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? And verse 35 gives us another list. Will hardship, distress? No. In all of this, we are more than conquerors. So it's not always easy for us to understand that we will never be separated from God no matter what we do, no matter how we try to remove ourselves from God, and we do a pretty good job at that. But once we do understand that, it is so incredibly comforting. You know, our lives are a series of attachments and bonds that eventually over time may get broken, and then we create new attachments and bonds. We're attached to our kids, right? And that bond never breaks. But sometimes they go away. Okay, you hope they always go away, right? They'll come back every now and then. But then they go, and then we're separated from them. You know, military kids. How many? Any of you grew up as military kids? So military kids and missionary kids have a lot in common, and that is that we create bonds very quickly because we know in a couple years we're gonna be moving on. Each one of us, we're attached, I hope and I pray, to this church. But in our lives, as we're attached to churches, maybe at times strife can come, a new pastor, controversial statements, personal attacks that you felt from a member, and then we start looking elsewhere and we make new bonds. We're attached to things, material things. How many of you have been following the saga of the Bronkema benches? Any of you? Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that hand back there. So the benches in front of our house have taken, what? Who's keeping track? Anyone? 9 months? Longer than that, huh? You've been keeping track. So we didn't know how to get the paint off, and we sanded it. That didn't work. I finally found a heat gun and just caught a little part of the house on fire, but it was okay. It got the paint off, and then we did great with the caulk on one bench. Then I put the wrong caulk on the other bench, and it turned into rubber, and you can't sand rubber. How do you sand rubber? What caulk turns into rubber? Apparently silicone. And so I had to dig all that out, and man, we are so attached to those benches, and they're not quite done yet, but we're really close. These things become important to us. Things become important to us. And then someone from the outside looks at what happened in Mexico or the havoc that was wreaked by the storms, and we say, really, benches? Is that what's on your mind? And you can remove benches and replace it with a house or a car or whatever things are really, really, we think, important to us. Luxuries sometimes become necessities, and they at times take us away from our Savior. Folks, there's nothing wrong with Facebook unless it takes you away from sitting down with your family or your spouse. There's nothing wrong with fantasy football, even if you're 0-2 like I am, unless it takes you away from your family and your time with God. We don't live in a puritanical setting, okay? We don't live in a setting where the pastor is telling you should have no joy in your life. That's, I would never say that. You know that, right? But we do need things which give us joy that are not always directly related to the presence of Jesus in our lives. We need that. It's important for us. But when those things which bring us joy and comfort and safety and security, when they become more important than what Christ might want from our lives, then we're actively separating ourselves from the love of God. What can separate us from the love of God? Only ourselves. What in our lives separates us from the love of Christ? Or what do we put in the place of our love of Christ? Does the love that we have for our country, does that sometimes turn into an idol? Listen to me before you leave. What would happen, and I think of this a lot, we don't have prophets that walk the face of the earth today. Maybe we do, but no one takes them seriously. Well, they weren't taken seriously in the Old Testament either. But what if the prophet Isaiah, think of Isaiah, what if the prophet Isaiah were an American and were walking on the face of this earth and lived in Lancaster? Let's say he lived in Lancaster. What do you think that would look like? Remember, Isaiah called Israel the people of God, the ones God chose by hand, called them a prostitute. He used the word with a W, which I'm not going to say out loud, but you can look it up in the Bible. I don't know that if Isaiah were to come and instead of kneeling for the national anthem, you know what I think he would do? When the national anthem would be playing, he would be yelling at the top of his lungs. Just yelling at the top of his lungs. And he'd be calling America not a really nice name. That's what he did to Israel. What makes us think that he won't do that to us? Shocking. Jesus, when he goes to Jerusalem, the city of God, the place where God was supposed to reside, what did Jesus do when he looked out from the Mount of Olives? Do you remember? He cried. He wept. And he said, stop killing the people that God has sent you, the prophets and all the others. Folks, the more history changes, the more it stays the same, right? We're just repeating what has happened, and the Bible talks about it time after time after time. Folks, God will not allow us to be separated from Him. Even if we align ourselves and give our primary devotion to a country so that it would succeed, even if we insist that it succeeds by following a path that may not be God's direction. God's direction of loving your neighbor, for example. So this Friday, I went to Lancaster for an event. I think it's the first time I've been to the city of Lancaster for an event in the 6 years that I've been here. I don't get out much. First time. And it was the 30-year celebration of Church World Service. How many of you have heard of Church World Service? Did you know, you may not know this, but last year the BBC and all the international media, do you know what they called Lancaster? We made the news. We made the national and international news. Who knows what they called Lancaster? I got to look at my notes. It's really cool. Oh, they called it the refugee capital of America. And we can clap, but how many of you are wondering, man, they're terrorists in Lancaster? Right? How many of us are thinking, that's scary? We have Syrian families who were resettled in Lancaster. I didn't know a single person at that gala. There wasn't a single pastor. So I stood by myself at a table until these two young women took pity on me. And I was thinking the whole time, I don't belong here. No, there's not a pastor here. There's no one I know. What does this have to do with the gospel message? Why am I here? But then I was reminded of the dozens of times that Jesus teaches us who our neighbor is. And sometimes the message we hear from culture and society tells us a completely different message about our neighbor. It teaches us to run from them. It teaches us to separate ourselves from them. It teaches us to call them names. And when we do that, we run away from the mandate that God gives us to be the refugee capital of America. Wow. That's intense. Maybe the opposite of danger, instead of courage, is love. Maybe the opposite of danger is the love that we find in Scripture. So who keeps us away from God? What will separate us from God? Fear will. Our own fear. In that Good Samaritan story, y'all know that story, right? If you go home this afternoon and read it again, you will see the gospel focuses much more on the good Samaritan and hardly at all on those robbers, on the bad. But we spend most of our time worrying about how to prevent the bad that we miss out sometimes on doing the good. And this separates us from God. In our family relationships, we enter marriage with the understanding that only death will do us apart. What if Paul said here, I am certain that neither death nor infidelity nor boredom will separate us from God. But that's not the case. Our relationships, especially our marriage relationships, our interpersonal relationships with each other, they take time, they take effort, they take work. And at times we may not have the energy for that. But I'm convinced that they're worth it. You know, once we have tasted the love of God, we never want to lose it. We never want to lose it. You can't bear to be separated from it, but it happens that we find ourselves distancing ourselves from God for a whole variety of reasons, including the reasons I just mentioned today. But the most compelling part of this story is that God cannot bear to be separated from you. And when God makes up his mind to do something, when God says, I will not be separated from you, you know what that means? It means he absolutely never, ever will. So may God bless us and keep us as we look to be reminded, even as we put God at arm's length, that he will not allow that to happen. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you today, and we ask you that there will be nothing in our lives that will separate us from you, that will cause us to distance ourselves from you, that there will be nothing in our lives that will take the place of you. Each one of us, Lord, has created idols in our lives that we focus on and we feel are so crucial to the way that we live, to who we are, to our identity. God, help us to break down those things. And help us to build up the recognition that without you, we are nothing. And you remind us that you will not leave us, but we still need to reach out to you and embrace you. And make you not only our Lord and Savior, but make you the Lord of our lives. Teach us to do that every single day. And we pray this now in your holy name. Amen.